Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show. I'm CJ Liu, and this segment starts our continuing look at how we bring more love and self-love into our lives. And today we have the pleasure of having Ragini Michaels, who is an author of the new book, Unflappable, Six Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What. And we are here talking about today compassion. So welcome, Ragini.
Thank you. It's always nice to be here.
You know what's so funny about a lot of the, over the last, gosh, how long? It feels like over the last year, we've actually been looking at these, we started off with looking at obstacles to self-love, right, like jealousy and anger and fear and all these. And now we're getting into, I think, kind of the juicy, fun part, which are all, to me, as I was thinking about it, they're almost different expressions of love. Different ways of expressing love. And the interesting thing around the topic today, which is compassion, is it seems like more and more it's a buzzword. Isn't that funny?
It is a very popular thing to be cultivating.
Yeah, and I and honestly, I don't think people know what it means. That's a funny thing. It's like, we need to show compassion. I'm like, do you really mean empathy or sympathy? Like, so it's kind of a generalized word now that I thought would be good, as we do with each of these segments, to kind of refresh, like, you know, from your perspective, who you've been thinking about compassion for a while, from
various decades,
from different perspectives, right? Yes. A Buddhist perspective, a mystic perspective, your own paradoxical perspective. So what is compassion from, let's start, I mean, what is compassion and how is it different than empathy or sympathy and pity? Because I think because it's now a buzzword, we get confused.
Well, I think compassion is actually composed of two things. One is empathy, which is the ability to share the sense of pain or suffering that someone else is experiencing. So empathy is really being able to share and feel the pain and suffering that someone else is feeling. The second part of compassion, which is what makes it different than empathy, is the desire to alleviate that suffering. It is actually the desire to take action, which is your favorite thing, taking action in the world to make a difference. So it's the ability to share the sense of suffering that someone else is going through, and connected to that, plus the desire to actually alleviate that suffering, that pain and suffering, through taking some sort of action to do that.
Right.
Many times sympathy, empathy without the desire to alleviate the suffering does not quite get you to compassion. So empathy isn't compassion, but to have compassion, you do need empathy.
Right. So one is needed in or a precursor, but sometimes, because you know, you see these, I'm going to generalize and say guys. You see these guys who say,
that's a big generalization. There are women who are going to be able to do what you're going to say here.
And I'm probably one of those women where you have someone like, oh man, like blah, 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 awful thing. And like, I feel you, man. Right. That's kind of a, like a mild form of empathy.
It can be empathy if you really are, in a way, experiencing that pain with the other person. Sympathy is like a close, it's not the real thing. Sympathy is not the same as empathy.
Well, let's just do a hypothetical example. Okay. Ragini, I just lost my job. Okay, so what does sympathy, empathy, pity, and compassion, how would the different flavors of that be?
Pity, we might be, oh, hey, man, that is really too bad. And inside I'm going, geez, I'm glad that hasn't happened to me. Poor sap over there lost their job. But pity can, it's almost, pity almost always has something like, oh, poor me in it for the other person, or, oh, how lucky I am that that isn't me.
Oh, right?
So that element is there in pity oftentimes. Sympathy would be, you know, like, hey, you know, that's, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. It generally, it genuinely is too bad, but I'm not going to feel any of your pain with you.
Okay.
Perfect. I'm not really, and I'm certainly not going to take any action to alleviate it for
right.
you, because I may not even really know what your suffering is behind having lost your
right.
job. I just know that's not an action that most of us want to have happen in our lives.
Right.
So I go, hey, that's too bad that happened to you.
Right.
There's a energy of, you know, I am sorry. It's
yeah,
too bad.
Sorry,
you know,
but I don't want to go there.
Yeah, but I'm not actually, I don't really resonate with that at the emotional level.
Right.
So compassion, empathy, then empathy is where you actually are resonating because you know there's something inside you where you have felt that kind of pain at
mm-hmm.
the loss of something that's important to you. Then when you say, oh, man, that is really too bad. The energy of that word, the feeling behind it is very different because you're actually sharing in the pain and suffering that that person is feeling. And that's actually more that the crux of empathy by itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, and actually I would say the flavors of pity are, and this is maybe my personality coming out, but it's a little bit of judgment, like, oh, you sorry person.
Oh, absolutely. It's judgment.
Or it is, there's part of that coming through, which is the pity part. And sympathy is like the kind of thing that you need to do to be polite. Mm-hmm. Like you need to acknowledge, if someone writes in Facebook, which sometimes they do, mm-hmm. my dad just died. And you're like, you know, I need to do something. I can't just sit and look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, my condolences.
Right.
You know,
this
is kind of polite.
Standard way to do it. It's
like
polite.
My sympathies, condolences,
right.
and the empathy.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's
right.
fine. But it's not empathy.
Right. And empathy is like my dad died. My dad died, you know, about 13 years ago. And it was one of the most tumultuous times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I send you love, right? That to me is, well, is that compassion or empathy? I don't know.
It's
is it sending the love, the compassion apart?
It's definitely empathy, and there would be compassion in that you're attempting to alleviate that suffering by saying to her, it's okay for you to be where you are. I've been there.
Mm.
You know, and that may be an effort to alleviate the suffering as well as just acknowledging it and sharing it. So it just, you know, it depends. Part of it is where you're coming from, but the key, in my opinion, that makes the difference between empathy and compassion is that compassion does have an element of action to it.
Mm-hmm.
You wish to alleviate the suffering. You may not be able to. That's not the
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is you wish to alleviate it. It's a pull in you to help alleviate the suffering. Why? Because you know what it feels like to be in that kind of suffering.
Mm.
And you don't want anyone else to have to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of the questions you'll probably ask, we'll get to that a little later.
Yeah, so in from a spiritual perspective, because there's all sorts of, we always go through and talk about the various perspectives. How would you describe it from, I don't know, have we done a good job at describing it from a psychological perspective? Anything more
well,
to add there?
I think from a psychological perspective, in order to have empathy, you need to have developed a certain degree of emotional maturity so that you can tolerate the being in the presence and feeling other people's pain. So the level of emotional maturity that you are at impacts your ability to feel empathy and to understand the nature of suffering and the unavoidability of it in life. And when you understand that psychologically and you have the emotional maturity to go with it, it becomes the first step to actually getting to empathy
mm-hmm.
and then actually getting to compassion. So generally the psychological perspective on people in pain and suffering is, gee, I'm sorry, but please don't come near me.
Right, because I can't deal with the emotions.
I can't deal with it, or I don't want to, or I have too much going on in my life, which may be true.
Right.
But compassion would generally override that to some degree.
Right. And even if you hadn't had a situation that was comparable, you can probably, like you're saying, if I said, oh, I lost my dad, and you didn't lose your dad or your mom, or mm-hmm. you may have lost someone, you're like, you know, maybe it's even like lost my job. You can say, God, loss is the worst possible thing. And so it's to resonate with what you can
yes.
possibly
it's to emotionally. It's to literally emotionally in a way, take on some of that person's pain.
Mm-hmm.
In that, not that you need to take it on and make it yours. I'm not saying that.
Thanks for reminding me that. Because I do that.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that you walk around and take on other people's pain, because it belongs to them and it's their gift, because it has in it some learnings. Mm. For all pain and suffering has some learning to give to us to help us live life more fully and to actually be more happy.
Mm. Is that the spiritual perspective?
Yes, that's definitely the most general spiritual perspective that you'll find about pain and suffering, unless you're going to say you're getting it because you're a bad person or you're evil. That's not in this, what I call a spiritual dimension. It's more of a religious dimension. So spiritually speaking, it will always just be bringing you something that it's yours to learn.
Mm-hmm. Don't you find that those spiritual perspectives, when offered too early, are the worst kind of perspectives to offer?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you're trying to offer too early, mm-hmm. then maybe what you're trying to do is get them to stop suffering, in the sense of, just, I don't want to share your pain with you. I just want you to stop it.
So here, let me
solve the problem for you and give you a really high spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
Like oftentimes when people die, spiritually oriented people will jump to the highest possible spiritual perspective in order to avoid the pain.
Oh, fascinating.
Right? And other people who come up to them in that context of having lost someone very close and very dear might also jump to the highest pure spiritual perspective, which again doesn't really help that individual, because you're not acknowledging the...
Bogged down by your daily grind, not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The Five Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are talking with Ragini Michaels today on compassion and specifically how we can cultivate and experience more compassion in our daily lives, both for loving others and to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Ragini.
Thank you.
So what prevents us from really cultivating compassion?
Honestly, I think it's truly our fear of being open to allowing suffering and pain to unfold.
Yeah.
We have the deepest fear we have is of pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Loss is pain and suffering. Loss of, anything that you're attached to that you're going to lose, you fear because it will be painful and it will cause you suffering because you won't understand why you had to lose it, generally speaking.
Right.
And that just indicates a lack of wisdom in how life works.
Right.
So the more that you understand how life works, the better you can deal with your fear of something that is inevitable, because everything that you have will eventually move out of your life, whatever it is, because of change and impermanence. So when you really understand there's nothing you can do about that and that you are subject to pain and suffering like everyone, it really is the beginning of compassion, because you can't really feel compassion for someone else, by definition, be willing to share their pain and suffering if you're afraid of your own pain and suffering. Mm. So it starts back with being able to,
yeah,
to learn how to be present to your own emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And as you learn to do that, and that means being with it, not necessarily running in to heal it or fix it or transcend it, all of which is fine. I'm not saying don't do that. But the other piece that really opens to compassion is being able to be present to it and let it be there and learn from it. What is the wisdom that your pain and your suffering, which is really lack of knowledge about how life works,
mm-hmm,
you know, what's the gift in here for you? And as you get that gift, you become less fearful and more compassionate. Passionate towards yourself as well as other people.
Right. It's the wisdom of your discontent, which
discontent.
Is in Ragini's book, Unflappable, Six Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What. And a lot of these ideas, and in some ways that's in the book that I'm reading right now, because mm-hmm, it's just out, are about, in fact, that we actually are running away from pain and suffering. And to the extent that we actually can make our peace with it, mm-hmm, that we'll find more happiness.
Actually, it's very interesting, because the more emphasis there is on building compassion and loving kindness and being positive,
mm-hmm,
it really in some ways forces a lot of people to say, well, I don't want anger, which is the opposite of mm-hmm compassion, and I don't want meanness, mm-hmm, which is the opposite of loving kindness, and I don't want any negativity, which is the opposite of positive.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, when you make that decision, be it conscious or unconscious, you're setting yourself up for trouble, because life is both.
Right. It's not natural.
No, it's not natural. At this level, what you're going to do is you're going to have to experience both sets of, all three sets of polar opposites. What life is asking you to do, what wisdom asks you to do, is to change your relationship to that dynamic so that you can be at peace with both your joys and your sorrows,
mm,
and understand that everybody is subject to joy and sorrow. You know, to pain and loss and suffering, as well as to joy and gain and pleasure.
So is that the polar pair that's operative in compassion, or what's the polar pair it's all? operative?
At the emotional level, it's generally anger and compassion. Mm. Because anger is when you really are not willing to share anything with anybody. You're just mad because you aren't getting what you want.
Right.
There's no openness to sharing in anger. There's no willingness to share pain. It actually, in some cases, are now wanting to inflict pain on someone else,
right,
who's betrayed you or hurt you in some way.
Right. So it's kind of interesting because in some ways what you said is keeping us from cultivating compassion is fear. And it's usually probably some anger masked in that. So in some ways it's like making your peace with your anger and is I mean, that's another way of saying, I think, what
right,
you said.
Right, because people get angry. Like, people in a manifestation get angry when they can't be positive all the time. And
right.
They start beating themselves up about
which is not compassionate.
Right, it's not. You know, and if you want to be kind, you start beating yourself up when you have negative thoughts that are mean and unkind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not compassion either. You want to understand that being a human being entails the painful experience of having both sides of these coins come up in your life. And what we're being asked to do from a spiritual perspective more fully, and it's very practical, mm-hmm. is how do you say yes to both sides of each of those coins?
Right.
How do I say yes to allowing my positivity and my negativity without running away from my negativity and, you know, and denying it, also not giving it my energy so that it grows.
Yeah.
So it's a paradox, which is what my work is all about, helping people understand and then learn how to navigate.
Because they want to be happy. Because
yeah.
once you're able to navigate that, you'll be happy.
That's right. And once you can allow your unhappiness into your picture of a happy life, you're going to be happier.
So if I were to recap, what you're saying is that really anger is a signal.
It's a signal that you are on the opposite side of compassion.
Right.
And that means you're not really willing to share the pain of another or feel your own pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you are, then you will most likely move into compassion fairly quickly.
Now, one of the things that you shared with me is various steps to getting to compassion. Tell the listeners a little bit about how this model works.
If you want to develop compassion, then obviously empathy is the first thing.
Right, and emotional
which is
maturity or maturity, which you said both.
Yeah. Yes. Emotional maturity, some emotional intelligence has to be developed there. Empathy then comes accompanied by kindness mm-hmm. in the way you think and your actions and your words.
It's like an intentional thing, like you
yes.
come from a place of being kind.
It's intentional. And once you really understand that you are in suffering yourself, that you as a human being, when we stop trying to avoid the fact that we're in pain and suffering, that's when compassion starts to come, because it's not your fault you're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There is pain is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
This is the key fundamental thing. And suffering happens really when we don't understand that and we don't know how to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to see that, you begin to feel compassion for yourself. And then
mm-hmm.
it's easy to feel compassion for other people because
mm-hmm.
they're in the same kind of pain you are. You know what the pain is. You're willing to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some, you know, we've talked about sympathetic joy, which people hear about, which
mm-hmm.
is saying I'm happy because you're happy. In a way, this is like sympathetic pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in pain because you're in pain. It hurts my heart that your heart is hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the beginning of empathy and compassion. One of the ways that you work with this too is to notice how we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Start ignoring the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things like this, which is a pretty common thing. I don't remember. It's probably Buddhist. I
mm-hmm.
honestly don't remember. But a little thing that you can do that says, just like me, this person who's in pain and suffering is seeking happiness in his or her life,
mm-hmm.
which I'm doing too. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the similarities. Just like me, this person has known sadness and loneliness and despair. Just like me. I know
mm-hmm.
all those things. They're experiencing them too. Just like me, this person is seeking to fill their needs.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not any different than me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And finally, just like me, this person is here to learn about life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I'm here to learn about. Now, whether you believe that or not is one thing. It's useful. It's a useful attitude. Don't know.
So these are in some ways in a place to getting you from mm-hmm. a mindset that you can kind of be compassionate.
Yes.
So if you're finding yourself having, like, you know, one of my trigger points is when I see a homeless person and then I get into all this kind of despondent behavior, like,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, why is there a homeless person? I feel so sad. Oh my, you know, and I kind of go into this craziness. But in some ways, This is, instead of kind of going, I almost go into the too much sympathetic pain, but in some ways this is actually could be used in both directions if you can't feel it or if you feel it too much.
Well, some of that is, why is this way and that way? You're trying to understand something that simply is the way life is and you can't understand it. That search for the why oftentimes is what keeps you from being able to share in the suffering because you're in your mind.
Right.
You're trying to figure out something with your mind. Nothing wrong with it, but it keeps you from oftentimes from being in your heart and just feeling the pain.
Right.
Right. And so in a way, it may not keep you from empathizing. Well, it will keep you because
it does because you're in your head. So like when you see the person begging in front of the store to get some food, you're kind of in your head like, why is this happening? What's wrong with this political system that we have this on the street? You're right. Not helpful.
Right. Or what's wrong with this person?
Yeah.
Or that wouldn't happen to me. Or why don't they get a job? All these things you hear going through your mind.
Right.
Don't be upset when you have those thoughts. Just turn it around and say to yourself, that person is just like me.
Yeah. So if you say, just like me, this person is seeking happiness and in his or her life. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in his or her life. Just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, and despair. Just like me, this person is seeking to fill his or her needs. Just like me, this person is learning about life. And it kind of brings you in a different place, doesn't it?
And as you say each of those, if you take a moment and feel it inside of you, mm-hmm. the place where you were seeking happiness, mm-hmm. and maybe you didn't find it, mm-hmm. you know, the pain of trying to avoid suffering and failing because it does come, you know, the pain of sadness and loneliness and despair and the pain of seeking to have your needs met and not...
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.
Oh, aren't Aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat! How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have Ragini Michaels here to coach us on how we can feel compassion versus fear or anger and how we can use that in a real life scenario.
Hello,
welcome, Ragini.
Thank you.
So I was actually trolling the some boards on compassion, and there was a gal who wrote and said, my boss is seriously a jerk. He's offensive, he makes sexist and racist remarks, and he drains everyone with his negative energy. He's chronically critical, belligerent, indignant, angry, and just plain rude. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, the person out there who has a boss like this. But it's hard. It's really hard to feel compassion for someone who is treating you in an abusive way or feeling as an unjustified way or is rude. And then, again, as your boss, you have to see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give this person? How would they feel compassion for someone who drains?
Well, the first thing I would say is check your attitude towards the situation. If you're not looking at it as a scenario that life is giving you to learn something, it's going to be doubly hard to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look first and ask yourself, you know, are you feeling like a victim here? Are you feeling run over? And are you feeling angry and blaming? If you are, those things are fine. But in order to deal with them in the most effective way, the first thing you want to do is remind yourself that you do have the option to look at this as a gift from that old, good old universe out there to help you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't need to look at it that way, but I tell you, it is easier that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just easier because when you do that, you're actually activating things inside your system, your wisdom, your knowledge that you've already gathered in other scenarios to come up and support you in this scenario, which is really a tough one. I mean, this is one of the toughest things that you're going to have to deal with, especially I see a lot of people like this in my office who are locked into a corporate position in a hierarchy where their bosses or the people they work with would be similar to this person that we're talking about, who is this boss. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing I'd say. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is emotionally get some distance. You got to step way back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do any kind of meditation or anything, that probably is going to be a little hard for you. But at the very least, take a deep breath and go into the bathroom.
I mean, after this person has raged at you?
Yeah, if you have to, you know, I mean, because it's a very difficult situation, because if you just rage back, you have the possibility of losing your job, which means then you don't have money to support your family or yourself. And so it can generate a lot of consequences.
Right.
On the other hand, you don't really have to stay in a situation where you get abused 24/7 or for the whole time you're at the office. This comes down eventually to a choice about whether or not you wish to stay there. But what we're talking about is
whether you're going to say something to HR or whatever, right?
Of course. Speak to HR, you know, do whatever you need to do. We're talking about what do you do on the inside.
Yeah.
Because then whatever you do will be affected by the attitude and the intention that you have inside of you towards that person.
Yes.
If you want them to get in trouble, if you want them to be blamed, if you want them to be fired and you're angry and you're pissed off and you feel betrayed and you've taken offense, you're not going to be able to ask for help in the same way as if you have worked through all of those emotions that you have and come up with a sense of compassion. So how do you do it? Take a breath, get some distance from the scenario, right? ask yourself inside, where have you also done the same thing? Mm-hmm. Whether you've expressed it externally or not.
Yep.
Where have you been offensive? Where have you thought, if not said, a sexist remark? Where have you felt in your heart a racist experience where you felt an aversion from somebody of a different religion or
ethnicity or whatever?
Thank you, ethnicity. Where have you been negative to the extent that everyone else in the room was affected by your negativity? Where have you been critical? Where have you been belligerent? Where have you been indignant?
Right.
When have you gotten angry other than just this moment when you're angry at your boss?
Right.
And where have you been rude? So when you realize that you have also done all of these same things, right, then you can say, and they all hurt you. Why did you do them? Because you were in pain.
Right.
Now, you don't know the guy's story.
Right.
But you don't need to know someone's story to feel empathy or compassion.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I've done in comparable scenarios.
Okay.
Okay, the person is driving and cuts you off, mm-hmm. and you're kind of getting pissed off inside. And so what I do, maybe these are unhealthy, so you can tell me if these are unhealthy strategies. But what I say to myself is, okay, I'm actually ready to judge this person as a jerk and inconsiderate and a series of judgmental statements that follow. And then I say to myself, who knows? Maybe this guy's wife is pregnant and he's rushing back to get to his wife who's pregnant and he's really worried because it's his first child. I'm like, I'm not sure what the story is, but I might as well imagine the story that gives the guy a break. You know, it's like you, because here's the thing. What I've learned from coaching is you really just never know. You never know on someone's life story. And perhaps if I met this boss and I met maybe his mom or dad who's offensive, sexist, and racist, I'd be like, well, now I get it. You know, it's not the guy almost, it was hard for him to choose.
It's not a bad strategy because it allows you to let that person be without you getting engaged in trying to send harm back to him.
Right.
On the other hand, internally, it doesn't really lead you to empathy because you're not really sharing in their pain. You're trying to understand it intellectually, which is fine.
Yeah.
But what I heard you just do was once you had a story that made it easy for you to let him be,
yeah.
You know, then you let him be, but you didn't go in and say, oh my goodness, I feel my heart hurts for him.
Okay. Yeah, I go into like, hey, you know what? Have you ever rushed around before?
Yes. If you do that piece of it,
right.
If you do that piece of it, then you're getting yourself into empathy where you're able to say, I know the feeling that's driving him to be that kind of a rude person behind the wheel.
Okay. And I'm never quite ready to say, peace and love be with you, which I think is.
It's a nice thing to be able to do, especially when I'm in my car, and that's one of the places where I get triggered a lot, and I hear myself say, you idiot,
right.
to somebody who just cut in front of me, and then I take a breath and I go, okay, sorry, blessings to you.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah. And I do that like a lot because I get irritated. I get irritated with drivers. It's one of my places where I forget that I'm a loving human being.
And but then I love the blessings to you. It's like I'm pissed off. Blessings to you. I kind of like that.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I threw that out. I was unmindful. I was not present in the sense that I wasn't aware of it before it came out of my mouth. Right. And there it was. And then I got present to it and I go, I don't really want to do that. I mean, what am I doing? So I'm sorry. I always apologize. I'm sorry. And blessings to you.
Yeah.
It kind of balances it out. You know, it's there you have it. It's a shortcut.
So I'll give you one other strategy that I've used when I've had this comparable scenario. And maybe it's not a good one. So tell me. I once actually had, I was in a meeting when I was working at Microsoft. And this gentleman was just, he made some type of offensive comment. And I've actually had several. I had this when I was General Electric. I have a lot of offensive comments.
Coming at you or people just making them?
They're just making them and I just can't stand it. Okay, so this I'll do one really early in my career. I was working at General Electric. I was probably like 20-something and I was managing a big department. And there was this little old lady. I can't remember her name. It's like Janie or something like that. That had been doing this job forever. And she was now being replaced by a computer. Mm-hmm. And, sorry, people, but this was the reality. And so this guy who headed up the whole, he was like the, whatever, the controller, CFO of the organization, said, you know, well, now we're actually replacing those mindless automatons with a computer to actually do this job way more efficiently and effectively and cost, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I went into his office and I knocked on the door. I'm like, hi, I just want you to know that that mindless automaton sits in my office and I think you owe her an apology because I don't think what you said was right. She has spent her 20 years at GE doing this, as you call it, mindless automaton job. And I don't think it's right. So I'd like you to, whenever it's convenient, you to come down and apologize to her. No, is this not feeling compassion? I don't know what that is, but I just couldn't take it.
Well, what you did was you engaged in an action to alleviate the suffering of that particular woman.
Okay.
Right, which is quite lovely, you know, that you did that. Now, someone could also go in and do that, not particularly because they want to alleviate that person's suffering, but because in a principled sense, it was wrong.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. It was more to alleviate her suffering.
Okay, so when it's to alleviate the suffering, then it's more in the vein of compassion. It depends. You know, when you take action, as always, as people are learning now, it's the intention behind the action that determines the energetic reality of that action.
Right.
Because you can say the same words in a different way.
Interesting.
Right? So you can go in and fight with your that guy because principally, he violated one of your principles.
Yeah.
Right? And you really aren't thinking about the woman whose feelings were hurt and who's suffering because of it. In your case, that's why you went in.
Yeah.
To alleviate that woman's suffering.
Pain suffering.
So I think that would fall under the category. If you were feeling in your heart.
Oh, no, I was just, when he said that, my heart just sank. I'm like, oh, great. So this poor woman, and I saw her sitting there and she was shaking and I was like, I can't take
and
this.
And here's the thing as well. If you went in and did it with loving kindness to him.
No, I wasn't.
Well, it doesn't sound
kindness.
Like you were nasty to him.
No,
or
I wasn't.
Mean.
No,
so,
I wasn't.
So, you know, expand the notion of loving kindness. It's just being kind.
Right.
You know, you go in and you say, yes, you know, this is something that I would like to ask you to do. You know, there's kindness towards him and you want to alleviate the pain of the other woman. I'd say it would fall into that category.
Okay, I think I just have to add the kindness because the other example was when someone said something to me that was very rude in a meeting and I went into his office and I said, I'm going to make up the name. Mm-hmm. The guy at Microsoft. Look, my hands are clenching just thinking about it. And I said, Bruce, what you did in that meeting when you...
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. To get your free copy now, that's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camino Island Coffee Roasters.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ Show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Ragini Michaels here to coach us on how we can offer self-love and compassion to ourselves versus judgment and shame. Welcome back, Ragini.
Thank you, CJ. It's always nice to be here.
I suffer from lack of compassion. No, I'm actually pretty compassionate. What I would say is the person I'm least compassionate is myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us have that.
I think that's probably very accurate.
Yeah. So why? Why is it so hard for us to feel compassion for ourselves?
I believe it's because most of us don't understand that the dark side that we have that engages in negativity and blame and judgment and everything else is a natural part of our personality structure. Mm. It's a natural part of being human. It's natural to living in the world of duality, our opposites. And instead of having been taught that so that we knew what to do with it when it comes, what we've been told is it's a statement that we're bad. That if we have negativity, if we blame, if we judge, if we have negative thoughts, if we're not beautiful enough, if we're not rich enough, if we're not slender enough, if we don't have enough friends, okay, if we don't have some purpose in life, if we're poor, if we're fat, I mean, there's a zillion things. If we're stupid, if we don't have a degree, there's something wrong with us and we ought to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been taught that way, we are not very open to see our own pain and suffering because it makes us face this idea that there's something dramatically wrong with us. And most of us have no idea what to do about that, mm-hmm. except to keep working hard to try and be the opposite, you know, intelligent, beautiful, successful, living a purposeful, meaningful life. And we avoid all of the darker, more difficult things that are the opposite of that.
Okay, so let's go into the internal world of Ragini.
Oh, dear.
Let's journey into that.
Sure, it's just like everyone else is a mess.
I'll go into the morass of my internal world.
Yes,
So we go into, though, I'm not doing this, I blah, 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 like all the different, you know, mm-hmm. things that you've mentioned are probably mm-hmm. have uttered in my mind at one point or another. How do we actually get to the point what's the antidote to that? Yes, it's hard for us. We don't understand that this is natural and human. Is that the first step that we get?
Awareness is the antidote,
okay.
in my opinion. It's the antidote. And the other piece is awareness that we live in a world of opposites and they don't mean anything about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mean anything. If I have a negative thought, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. If I'm lustful, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. You know, if I desire money, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person, right? If I have a hateful thought towards someone, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
So what's the compassionate thing that I say to myself? I'm not a bad person just because I'm having this thought or feeling?
No, you want to feel it first. We're so conditioned to avoid those feelings. right?
Okay, so it's the thing that we said before. I'm going to go into the pain and suffering associated with, okay, I gained like 5 pounds over the last whatever 6 months that I haven't been able to shake. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going through this whole, oh my gosh, I'm getting fat again. Oh, I don't fit well in my clothes and I feel fat, blah, 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 this whole misery story.
All the story is designed to keep you from feeling whatever it is that you're feeling at the time that you overeat.
Okay.
That's all. And is, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, I like to use food a lot still at this point in my journey to avoid feeling some of the deeper pains that I'm coming across in my own life.
Okay.
And when I sit down to eat the whole bag of that wonderful popcorn, in one sitting while I'm watching some terrible show on television.
That is the worst invention.
Right?
Those large popcorns that are refillable at the movie theater. That is
so
the
good.
Worst.
No, this, I'm home in my, in front of my
TV.
You know, the thought arises, this is probably not in my best interest to do this. I wonder what it is that's driving me to do it. And some days I will turn off the TV, put down the popcorn, and just be present to whatever it is I'm feeling instead of running from it.
Mm.
Other days I will say, yeah, I wonder. And I say, I wonder if Army Wives is on or some other show.
I will wonder about it later.
That's right. Just like Scarlett O'Hara.
Exactly.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I'll worry about it another day. And you know what? That's human.
Yeah.
That's human. And even though I might sit there and eat that whole bag of popcorn and watch that silly TV show, if I can say this is what's happening and really be present to the pain of avoiding myself, I have said yes to that. And that deepens my compassion for myself because then I understand addicts way better. I understand people. And that's the joy of growing emotionally.
Oh, so that's like the big bonus afterwards.
It's the big bonus afterwards. I'm happier. I understand so much more about life by understanding my own aversion to pain. I understand other people's aversion to pain. I understand pain and suffering. If you're willing to face it and be with it and experience it, it frees you, it grows you emotionally. It frees you to learn empathy and eventually compassion because it hurts so much. I mean, you wouldn't treat another human being the way you treat yourself, would you?
No.
No, me neither.
Yeah, right? You wouldn't.
So when you really learn that you don't have to treat yourself that way either, then it becomes really a desire to alleviate suffering for yourself and other people.
Mm. Love it. Love it. So wonderful. Okay.
Challenge.
Yeah. So, my goodness. Any other thoughts, closing thoughts on compassion?
You know, it's said that compassion is one of the highest things, and I do believe that's correct because it brings us happiness. And one of the reasons it brings us happiness is because when you're really feeling compassion, in a way, this sounds kind of strange, but you're not there. There's no you and me. There's just all of us who suffer because that's part of life, and we don't know what to do with it. And that hurts. And if you have any inkling of how to deal with the pain and suffering of life, you really want to share it. You really want to alleviate that. If you have any wisdom about how to deal with the pain and suffering of life, then you actually are driven from the inside because you know we're all dealing with it. You want to share it with people to help alleviate that.
Yeah.
So there's a great benefit in addition to being happy. And I'm told that health-wise, it also makes you healthier because it lowers your cortisol levels and raises your DHEA levels. Is it DHEA?
Yeah.
Which counteracts the aging process. So there's physiological benefits.
What?
For those of you who are only about the physical plane, there's benefits to it there.
You're saying compassion will make me look younger, feel better, I'll be happier?
According to scientific research, yes.
Okay. That's the kind of incentive I need. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why I thought I'd throw it out there. You know, this is America we're talking to. We all want to look good.
Lose weight, look better, age less, release your stress.
Actually, the minute you truly face your pain and suffering, you reduce your stress.
Mm.
It's so much easier to live with reality than it is to live with your story about why things are the way they are.
Yeah.
Just to face anything that's real in your life is easier. And this is what I say to myself when I'm looking at that bag of popcorn.
Right.
I say, do I want to live with the illusion that there's nothing wrong and eat that popcorn?
Right.
Or do I want to face whatever really is bothering me right now that's driving me? And honestly, some days I go for the popcorn And there's nothing wrong with
and
that.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
Just, where's that statement? I... Just like me, Brockney, I'm going for seeking my happiness in this popcorn.
That's right.
Just like me, I'm trying to avoid suffering. Just like me, I know sadness, loneliness. I mean, it's awful.
So when I have someone in my office who's an alcoholic or a food addict or has some kind of addiction, whether it be codependency or what, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, you know, because I found it in myself. The more you find what's in yourself, and we didn't talk much about it, but anger is the opposite of compassion. So if you're angry a lot, which has certainly been one of my things, compassion is really the other side of the coin. So maybe we'll do another thing about that another time, because I think we're almost out of time.
Wonderful. So thank you again, Ragini Michaels, internationally recognized speaker in behavioral change and the author of the book Unflappable, Six Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What. If you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then make sure to check out our shows on www.firedupwithcj.com, iTunes, or go over to Friend Us on Facebook. And Ragini, tell us your website again.
www.raginimichaels.com. Also go to YouTube. There's some things up there.
Okay, wonderful. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next Thursday.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.